Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, December the 21st. You know, what are we, 4 days away from Christmas? So I think everybody's getting in the mood. Although, again, this year, because of the pandemic, it doesn't mean that you let the pandemic overwhelm you. But in a way, it does impact what you do, if not directly, certainly in activities that you do. For example, one obvious thing is that the nativity scene at our church, which is a very famous one here in this area, it's a beautiful nativity scene that somebody contributed to the church many years ago. Well, they're not going to put it out this year. And I guess it's just, you know, it's COVID. What else can you say about it? So in so many ways, it is Christmas, but in so many other ways, it really isn't the Christmas we grew up to. And that, you know, that's something you begin to miss. You miss the old Christmases, and you certainly hope that by next year, all of this will be a bad memory, COVID, and unfortunately, the many people who got sick, and, you know, obviously, sadly, the many who were lost in this terrible year of 2020. I mean, it's just been devastating when you look at the numbers of COVID. So anyway, we are going to do a couple of our annual Christmas shows. We will be chatting with Leslie Eastman. You know, Leslie, of course, is one of our more popular guests, and she's also a contributor to Legal Insurrection. Many of you follow her at Legal Insurrection. So she will be joining us on Tuesday, and we're going to do our annual Christmas show, probably share a few things that Leslie always contributes to the show. And then on Wednesday, this would be the 23rd, I think. Yeah, the 23rd. Frank Burke, our good old friend Frank Burke, is joining us. And Frank, as he always does every we've made this into an annual tradition now. You know, I think this is our sixth or seventh annual Christmas show that we have done. And he always has a couple of readings, a couple of things from either from the Bible directly, the New Testament, or from poetry or literature that he always shares with us. So that's going to be a good one. So I would recommend that you catch our conversation with Leslie on Tuesday and with Frank on Wednesday. We're going to leave those two shows up during the rest of the week so you can catch up with them as best you can. But this is the time of the year when, you know, when we talk about Christmas. And Christmas, for me, has always been a real favorite holiday. And, of course, again, as I said before, not being negative, just being realistic, it's a little bit different this year. Well, we're going to talk about three major topics today. The first one is 2020, the election, and what exactly happened. And why I believe very strongly that President Trump has a responsibility to the country and to the voters to push for an explanation of what happened in 2020. I think many of us have our concerns, our doubts. And I tell you, if I was Joe Biden, I would want to get this thing cleared up as soon as possible. Because the numbers, if you look at some of the polling data, it's in the 40s. 46% in a report, in McLaughlin report, a very good pollster. In the 40s, also with Trafalgar and with Rasmussen. And when I say the 40s, I mean like 45, 46. So that's a very bad number. If you're an incumbent president, you're coming in with numbers like that. It's going to make it very difficult for you to get anything done because there's going to be a real distrust, if you will, by a significant number of people. So I would simply, you know, I would caution the Democrats about trying to stop all of this. You know, there's a sort of a tendency here on the Democrat Party or from Democrats and from some of the media. And I've used this example before, but I think it bears repeating. It reminds me of when, you know, when I was a kid and I didn't want to eat what my mother had put on the table, I would start, you know, acting up. And my mother would look at me with her finger and say, just eat your vegetables and shut up. She would say it in Spanish, of course, but it's just as it was just as firm in Spanish as it is in English. And she would say, eat your vegetables. Eat your vegetables and shut up. A lot of people want to do that to us. And if you ask any question, if you have raised the slightest objection about this election, immediately you're a conspiracist, you're crazy, right-wing Republican, all this kind of crap that they keep throwing at us. And I don't think that's true. I mean, look, I'm willing to accept the presidency of Joe Biden or the victory of Joe Biden, but I need a little bit more information, as people like to say. And right now, I think there were a few places around the country, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, Atlanta, or the cities really, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee, where I think some crazy things did happen. And we need to know. We need to know because it's all going to come out. It's all going to come out. And when it does, it's really going to hurt Joe Biden when it comes out, whenever it does. But it will come out. It will come out because people are going to be looking into it. And, you know, you've got affidavits that people have signed saying that they saw corruption, that they saw things that were not right. Well, those affidavits are going to have to be dealt with legally. So my message to everybody is, let's find out what happened. Not because you voted for Trump or because you voted for Biden. Let's just find out what happened. I think the American people need to know that this was a fair election. I would like to know that, and I'm sure many of you in the audience and many of you listening would love to have the same confirmation. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, December the 21st. Well, let's talk a little bit about Obamacare. I have a post coming out about this Tuesday morning. Obamacare is now 10 years old. And I think that even though we're not talking much about it in 2020 because of COVID, we did talk about it a little bit back in 2018. And the Republicans almost deleted Obamacare back in 2018. And unfortunately, and I love John McCain, but this was not one of his best moments. He voted against it, the repealing Obamacare back in 2018. I would like to give him the benefit of the doubt. He said he wanted the parties to work together, but he should have known better. I mean, he had only been in the Senate 30 years. He should have known better that the atmosphere in the country in the middle of an election was not going to bring people to work together. But anyway, so it didn't get repealed in 2018, and I think it became a negative for the Republicans in that election because, you know, you cannot run, you cannot say, gee, we want to repeal Obamacare, and then when you have a majority, you don't do it. So right now, Obamacare is 10 years old, and Obamacare suffers from the same problem that it has always suffered from, and that is that it's not affordable. And it's not affordable because it goes against the wisdom of the free market. If you eliminate choices, the prices are going to go up. And that's the problem. There are lots of counties in the United States where you have two options or two choices on Obamacare. One of the worst things Obamacare did was to do away with a long variety of individual health policies that we had in this country, you know, high deductible individual insurance that you could get for many people who were single or many people who were self-employed. You just wanted to cover yourself against the bad stuff or the expensive stuff. You were willing to pay a high deductible for it. That was eliminated, and I think that was bad. So Obamacare has to be repealed, and it also it has to be rewritten. And I certainly would like to see a health care plan that guarantees, you know, that if you have a pre-existing condition, you're not going to be denied coverage. And that's okay. I understand that. I want that to be the case. But Obamacare really didn't answer any of that. Or if it did, it didn't use the best way possible to do it. So anyway, let's hope that something happens about Obamacare, because right now it's very unaffordable. And we have a lot of people in this country who don't have health care because they simply cannot afford Obamacare. And, you know, the fact that, you know, this COVID thing, it might just break the bank as far as Obamacare is concerned as well. Well, another big issue that I believe is going to be a major problem or major issue, I should say, in 2021 and beyond is school choice. I have a post about this at the American Thinker on Monday morning where I'm talking about the fact that you see more and more people around the country, you know, looking for an alternative to public education. It's not that they hate public education or that they hate the concept of public education, but public education is not delivering results. You pay taxes into it, and it's highly bureaucratic, it's highly inefficient. And unfortunately, the public teachers union really runs the show. And in many places, they're really hurting the parents and hurting the kids. So I think one of the consequences of the pandemic is that public education will blow up over time. And you're going to see parents choosing different options. You're already seeing here in the Dallas area, you know, where parents are getting together in different parts of the city. They're either homeschooling or they get together, you know, two or three moms get together and say, okay, you do math, you do history, and we'll split it that way. The problem is, of course, not every young man or not every young boy or girl, I should say, has a mom at home who can just take off time from work. So that's, you know, one of the problems. So I think there would be a lot more homeschooling if more moms could take off from work and teach, but unfortunately they can't. So I think you're going to see variations of school choice develop over the next couple of years. But I think the days of public education as we have known it are really behind us. And you're going to be moving in a different direction. And again, it's not because the parents hate the teachers or because they hate the schools. It's simply because public education is not delivering the results to the parents who, after all, are the ones paying the taxes. And they're saying, hey, we're not getting our money's worth here. And then on top of that, there's an even larger problem in many of our inner cities. I mean, you got schools and you have students graduating who cannot even read and write. I mean, people graduating, a senior graduating from high school, you know, they cannot even read at seventh or eighth grade levels. And we're graduating these people. We're putting them on the streets as high school graduates. Not doing these kids any favors, but that, unfortunately, is what happens in many of our inner cities. So school choice, I think that's going to be a big thing happening here over the next few years. And one of the driving forces is the Republican state legislatures. When you have so many states now run by Republicans, I think school choice is going to happen. I really believe that. Well, a couple of things on this day in history. 1988, on this day, Pan American 103 blew up over Scotland. And this was, of course, eventually tied to Libyan terrorists. In fact, the Attorney General today, they indicted somebody else with respect to this horrible thing. But about 259 people were killed that day, including over 50 students from a college who were returning home for Christmas. So a terrible day, 32 years ago, Pan American 103. On this day in 1970, Elvis Presley visited President Nixon. And the pictures are great. Nothing really happened of consequence. But, I mean, the pictures are fantastic. Here's Elvis and President Nixon. I mean, what an odd couple that was. But they were at the White House, so I, you know, you got to check out the picture. I posted a picture on my blog on a post that I wrote about this, but the pictures are great. There's President Nixon, who obviously was not exactly a very hip person, with Elvis Presley. It was just absolutely the best picture you can have. And we remember today Carl Wilson, who, along with his brother Brian and Dennis, and Al Jardine and Mike Love, they were the Beach Boys. And one of the amazing things about Carl is he has such an amazing voice. And he's the lead vocalist, by the way, on God Only Knows, one of the greatest songs, not just by the Beach Boys, one of the greatest songs in pop history. Well, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.